Welcome to Life Quest, a program that directs you to subjects and books that will make a difference in your life, a program that will make you think and strengthen your journey of faith in the 21st century. My name is Dwight Lainhoff. Today on Life Quest, I'm talking to Peter and Heather Larson. Now, Peter Larson is a licensed clinical psychologist. Heather is his wife, has a master's degree in psychology, founder of Bridgewell Coaching. We're talking to them today about their book, 10 Great Dates, Connecting Faith, Love, and Marriage. Folks, welcome to Life Quest.
Thanks for having us, Mike.
Why did you write this book at this time?
Great question. So, you know, the concept of couples dating is really catching fire, and not only, you know, before they get married or during courtship, but after marriage, you know, couples are getting more intentional about spending quality time with one another. But even more important than that, you know, we're trying to take advantage of that. It's this whole idea of fostering a faith that is relevant in the relationship, not just relevant to the individual. Couples often go to church or pray before meals, but they kind of do this very private expression of their faith. And we're trying to help couples explore, hey, what does this mean to our marriage? What does this mean to our family?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And some couples really already are trying to look at how does our faith impact our marriage and our decisions that we make as a family. And they're looking for a way to be a little bit more intentional, to take this deeper. So it really can reach both types of couples, those who are really new to this or those who want to take this to a deeper level.
Let's look at the basic description here, though. 10 great dates. I got kids. It's really hard to find time with work and children and all that sort of stuff. What advice do you have to our listeners?
Well, that's a great question. We too have kids, and it really takes intentionality to make your marriage a priority and to set that apart. And really the greatest gift we can give our children is to have that strong marriage. And so it takes saying, okay, maybe this isn't a once a week. Maybe we can get our date night in every 2 weeks. But we're going to be intentional about making that date night happen. It may even have to happen at home where you say, okay, kids are tucked in, screens are put away,
yeah,
and we're going to have this face-to-face heart and time together.
Yeah. And, you know, Heather and I discovered a couple of years ago, too, as our kids are still relatively young, but they're all in school now, we started to do lunch dates. And
yeah,
we found that, you know, sneaking away in the middle of the day, meeting somewhere for lunch was a great way to reconnect as a couple. And the other great idea that some couples will do is they'll get some friends involved in this, and they'll swap nights and say, hey, we'll watch your kids, you guys watch our kids, and we'll go out on different date nights.
You're talking a lot through this, and your intention, as you said just a moment ago, is to heighten the level of the spiritual connection that a couple are to have. I can remember when my teenagers now were much younger, and we started to do the evening, let's read a book together that's at their level, and we'll have prayer and it. But it was really hard at times to get the kids to focus, to not be bored, even when things seemed to be in their situation. And that might have been part of it as a family. But often couples can talk about everything except their spiritual life.
And so we've tried to make it safe and give them a structure in this book where it can be non-threatening to bring up some of these topics, explore, you know, hey, what kind of faith did you see growing up in the home that you grew up in? What's your own journey been like? Where are you at now? You know, we're not trying to get couples to have to agree on everything or solve denominational differences or anything like that. It's more about, hey, let's connect around this topic, because obviously it's crucial to who we are and who we're called to be.
Right, and this book really isn't necessarily about having a devotion together as a couple, although there is a devotion with each chapter. There's an opportunity to do that.
Okay.
But there is a chapter with some content, some things for you to be thinking about, reading about, and then there's a sheet at the end where each individual takes and fills out some thoughts on that topic, whether it's, you know, where do I experience God, or how do I how do we stand on a firm foundation in Christ? And there's some questions that are going to be really more self-reflective And then you come together to have a discussion about faith and love and marriage, using those versus just having sort of a Bible study together. It's really
right.
different from that.
Yeah, and all too often, you know, couples will go to church together, but that's their spiritual direction for the week. But, of course,
exactly.
that kind of gets lost for 6 or 7 days in the middle of the
exactly.
week.
Yeah,
that's right.
A chapter that we address really about loving our closest neighbor. And one of the things that I find, especially in my coaching, is that we can have the spiritual truths. We know what they are,
mm-hmm.
and we know that we're supposed to be loving, and we know that we're supposed to be forgiving. But it's sometimes hardest to be that person in our marriage, to show that love, to show that grace and forgiveness to our spouse. And so it's really, how do I take what I know as spiritual truth that I learned on Sunday morning
mm-hmm.
and have that fruit in my home?
And what happens? You mentioned something. You're really not going to do arm wrestling over doctrine or differences of opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, when you discover that you're on different paths or different places in the journey of faith, what then? How we respond, it would seem to me, is vitally important of what to do and what not to respond to.
Right, right. Yeah, one of the things we talked about right in the introduction is leading with grace and you know, embracing the fact that none of us knows all the truth there is to be known. You know, there wouldn't be, you know, hundreds of denominations and theologians and seminaries all coming at this from different angles if any one person had said, yeah, I got the whole thing figured out, here it is. And so we talked about leading with grace and leading with humility and making it okay to be where you're at. And going from there as a couple. And you know, the other thing that was really important even in our own story was not pressuring one another to, you know, do something they don't feel ready to do. So early in our marriage, Heather said, I think we should pray together every day. And I, you know, I didn't come from a home where I saw that. And that felt really vulnerable to me as a guy in my 20s. I wasn't
mm-hmm.
sure what she was talking about with that. And I initially resisted that, and Heather showed me a lot of grace in that and prayed on her own for me to have the will to want to do that with her. And sure enough, that prayer was answered in time, but I'm so thankful she didn't pressure me.
Right. I remember a couple that came to me, and she felt that the husband should lead out spiritually in the home. He mm-hmm. neither had the personality nor the experience, and so she felt that he should say grace at the table, the family supper.
Mm-hmm.
And once they waited for 20 minutes, while he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden it became an arm wrestling thing rather than something of spiritual direction.
Yeah. You know, you hear that term, and Heather and I have been talking about this even recently, this concept, which is valid, of, you know, how can the husband really, really promote that spiritual leadership or take on that spiritual leadership in the home. But, you know, if you back up a step and you think about leaders, there are lots of kinds of leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of, some leaders have very, very forward-facing gifts. And like you said, they have the personality to really dive in. And other leaders lead from behind in very subtle ways. They delegate, they empower others, they do it quietly, and that doesn't mean they're not an effective leader or they're not leading. They just lead with a different style, and I think we have to be careful not to say spiritual leadership in the home looks just one.
I see. Tie that in with the concept of married couples dating, still having fun in our marriage, and yet focusing on positive things.
Yeah, well, and I think one of the things that this book really tries to help you do is to make this idea that can often be so sort of scary or intimidating to get into a spiritual conversation and try and make it, you know, into this fun setting. And really, you know, there's some good guidelines around how to keep it fun, how to keep it safe so that you're having a good time and not pressuring. One of the things when we talk about praying together, oftentimes somebody might be a little bit more eloquent in that and someone might feel a little more inadequate. I've spoken to a lot of couples where that's, for a husband especially, they feel inadequate, and their wife uses these phrases or Christianese, and she sounds like she's got it all down, and I don't know what to pray. And so this idea of really being able to say, you know what, hey, we're on the same team. We're in this together. We want to make this fun. We want this to be significant. And not one of us is right, the other one's wrong, and you need to do it my way to mm-hmm. be correct or be right and really have some grace and fun in all of it.
And I got to tell our listeners, this is a very good book, and as you've already heard, it's also can be a workbook. You know, there is direction at the end of the mm-hmm. chapters and things like that to help all of us, no matter what our past or present experience is. I'm going to go to a difficult thing, and that is this. How can a marriage overcome the damages that are a lack of trust? Maybe it's caused by addictions, pornography, infidelity, a biggie, and yet they're wanting to keep the family together, but it's a big elephant in the room.
Right. Well, you know, what's awesome is God, as he revealed himself, even through Christ, doesn't shy away from the tough stuff, right? Jesus went right into those settings where people were not living in ways that were honoring, and they had broken relationships and, you know, adultery and the whole mix. And so as we talk about this idea of inviting God right into the center of your marriage, not just living it out over here as an individual, but, you know, bringing God right into the center of this marriage and being real purposeful about your spiritual walk together, not only are you inviting him in, you're inviting these concepts of grace and forgiveness and truth and redemption, and that's the stuff that needs to take place in the midst of those really painful, damaging situations. Doesn't mean it's quick, doesn't mean it's easy, mm-hmm. But we need, you know, all the more reason to be talking about, you know, let's put God at the center of our relationship and help him and let him help us untangle the messes that we create in our growth.
And both of the couple need to be willing to do that.
It really is. It's this mindset of realizing the grace and forgiveness that we need each day and then choosing that grace and forgiveness in your marriage every day. And it's a both and. It's really forgiving yourself sometimes for your contribution mm-hmm. and forgiving your spouse.
Yeah. And you know, you say both need to be willing, and that's true, but there is also a part, you know, of relationships, and I'm a psychologist, and one of the things we talk about is how a family or even a marriage is kind of it's this very connected system. You know, imagine a couple doing a dance, and all of a sudden one of them starts to do a different step
right.
or a new dance. Well, even if one person starts to make new decisions and interact in a new way, all of a sudden it frees up the whole relationship to start to experience something new and different. So it's true that it's most powerful when both people are on board, but you can have a significant impact on your relationship just by saying, hey, here's how I'm going to live this out differently today. I'm going to respond differently and be a different person with my spouse or my family.
You talk a lot, and I believe correctly so, about guarding our marriage and keeping connected and that sort of thing. And that is, it seems to me, is becoming more and more of an issue in the day of technology, when through Facebook and other things we can connect with people that we once, you know, maybe a high school boyfriend or something like that. And things are said online that wouldn't even be said face-to-face, and all of a sudden a barrier, a border has come down.
Yeah, the chapter really is about guarding your heart. And when the ARPs, who we wrote this book with, when I saw this chapter that they had started, I did a word search on the word heart and found that there are, you know, hundreds of references to the word heart in the Bible. God is so interested. He can give us a new heart. He can change our heart. He can harden our heart. And this idea of guarding our heart, just like in the Casting Crowns song, it's a slow fade. Guarding our heart is a daily activity. It's each day choosing to be intentional to guard our heart against those temptations.
Mm-hmm. And you're right. The temptations in the technology age, it just gets more and more convenient. I mean, there are whole websites devoted to helping people cheat in their marriage. You know, and aside from the sexual temptations or the visual temptations, there's all the other stuff around materialism and just embracing what the world has to offer and making that our God. And,
yeah.
And so we try and talk about it from both sides and say, you know, every individual has their temptations, and those things can invade the home, invade the marriage, and we need to guard our hearts. We need to be intentional about that as well.
When I lived in the UK, I remember hearing a movie reviewer do a summary, and he made a statement which I thought was very penetrating, and it was this: sometimes extramarital love is more damaging to a marriage than extramarital sex. And I've mm-hmm. seen through the years how that's so true.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it can
right.
be a love that isn't necessarily even of a person. It can be a love of power, success,
yeah.
or things. Or so it really can be very subtle, but
mm-hmm.
very damaging.
Right.
Right.
Well,
yeah, it's about a boundary. When we open a door to someone other than our spouse,
mm-hmm.
that really shouldn't be open. You know, we've created a new wall between us and our spouse.
Right.
And you know, the wall needs to be around our marriage, not between us.
Yes.
And the openness needs to be between us, not with other people or other things. So, you know, helping couples tease out what are you doing to stay loyal to your partner.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important.
Again, folks, the book is 10 Great Dates, Connecting Faith, Love, and Marriage by Peter and Heather Larson and David and Claudia Arp. Where can people get a copy of this book?
You can find the book on Amazon, or you can also go to 10greatdates.org, and there you'll also find a free leader's guide if you want to get together with some other couples and really dive into this topic, make it fun, have a discussion about what you're discovering together. That's another opportunity at 10greatdates.org.
And this is a Bethany House publication. Folks, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Okay. I'm Dwight Lainhoff. I'll be back in just a moment.
Joining us today on LifeQuest, here is host Dwight Lainhoff.
Let me tell you about some upcoming authors we'll be talking to here on LifeQuest. Pete Wilson says, your past is not your past if it is still impacting your present. What's your worst fear? Fear of public failure? Unemployment? Fear of heights? The fear that you'll never find the right spouse or be completely healthy again? The fear of being trapped, abandoned, or forgotten? You know, folks, if you're dealing with the guilt and regret of your own sinful choices, or you're sitting in the shame of someone else's deceitful actions, God wants to bring you healing. Whether you're looking for a new beginning or just ready for renewal in your walk with God, Pastor Pete Wilson believes anything is possible when you learn to make new choices and let hope in. And that's the name of his new book. We've talked to Pastor Wilson before. This book is called Let Hope In, 4 Choices That Will Change Your Life Forever. And what he does is he walks us through 4 vital choices that must be made to experience freedom from pain. In fact, he says if we don't learn to transform the pain, we'll just transfer it. If we don't find ways to learn from our past, well, you know the answer to that, we'll be doomed to repeat it. And so he uses the biblical accounts of Joseph and David, men who were often gripped by fear or guilt, and reveals God's transformational power. It's a book you're going to be interested in, and Pete has a very special way of expressing it to us. Again, the book is Let Hope In by Pastor Pete Wilson. And then one of our favorite authors here at LifeQuest is Dr. Kevin Lehman. I mean, he's written over 45 books on parenting and marriage. And for all those parents who are tempted to FedEx their child to a faraway land, are tired of their kids insisting on having the last word. Do you have a child like that? Dr. Kevin Lehman brings a simple action plan that's guaranteed to work every time. His new book is called Parenting Your Powerful Child, Bringing an End to the Everyday Battles. And what he does, well, he uses his trademark humor and common sense psychology to offer hope and encouragement to parents in the trenches where you and I are. He's very practical and effective in his techniques, as you have heard if you've read any of his other books or heard him being interviewed on this program before. We can transform the daily battle zones in our home to a safe, peaceful environment. And that's what you want, isn't it? And so, again, we'll be talking with Dr. Kevin Lehman. And the book is Parenting Your Powerful Child, Parents Whose Smart Kids Have an Agenda. Well, I'm looking forward to that, and I can imagine that you are also. And one more book coming up. It's called Turnaround God. It's by Charlotte Gamble. She lives in the UK, and she and her husband lead Life Church there in England. I talked to her while she was on tour here in the States, and she's talking about discovering God's transformational power, how he can turn around situations and people and our thinking. And sometimes we start that, but we don't come all the way around. Well, you're going to enjoy this interview and this book, Turnaround God, Discovering God's Transformational Power by Charlotte Gamble. Thanks for listening to LifeQuest today. If you have questions or comments, you may send them to lifequest@lifetalk.net or write to LifeQuest at P.O. Box 33082, Knoxville, Tennessee 37930.